I want to talk to you tonight on the topic of the call of God. And if you remember last week, we talked a little bit about Esther and we talked about the evidences of the call. I want to talk to you tonight on the same topic. And I'd like for you to consider a certain passage of scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can look in the book of Hebrews. And if you look at the book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter, it's going to talk to you about a man named Melchizedek. And Melchizedek simply means king of righteousness. And again, the Bible suggests that he is also king of Salem, king of Shalom, king of peace. And it's a picture of a man who, though righteous and complete, was not necessarily a priest in the conventional sense of the word. The Bible says that he had no lineage. He had no pedigree. It says literally no mother, no father. But what it actually suggests is that he had no lineage in the sense that if a person was going to function as a priest, they had to be able to prove through genealogy that they had come through a certain line. In essence, what's being said here is that this man, Melchizedek, had no pedigree, had no lineage as it pertains to the capacity to act as a priest, and yet his ministry was greater than that of the Levitical priesthood. Now, when you consider Melchizedek, you have to go back to the book of Genesis and you have to consider his relationship with Abraham. The thing that I like about Melchizedek is he just shows up out of nowhere. I mean, basically, that's what the text is saying about this man. He showed up out of nowhere and he happened to be in the right place at the right time. If you were to describe his ministry, now theologians have argued back and forth with regard to whether this was a Christophany, which basically means a pre-incarnate manifestation of the second person of the Godhead. That is to say, an expression of the Logos before the incarnation. Other people suggest that this man is a type of Christ. That is to say, he, like so many others in the Old Testament, bears witness to many of the characteristics of Christ and points to Christ. But while both these have strong arguments in their favor, I want to just focus on one thing tonight. And I just want to see him as a type of the Christian person, period. I want to see him as the type of a person who, though they may not have the particular office or the particular credentials of a priest, still are in the right place at the right time to meet a person with a word in season to the weary heart. If you remember the situation, I can't tell you exactly where it is because I don't have my Bible with me, but take for granted that I have my Bible in me. And it is a picture of Abraham at a certain point. He has to go to battle because some of his people and some of his friends were taken into captivity, including Lot, his nephew. So he goes into battle and he fights against a very powerful enemy and takes a great victory. Now, as he's taking this great victory, there is someone who is going to meet him after the victory to offer him things that Abraham doesn't need. Offer him things that Abraham can't use, and offer him things that might actually turn Abraham from humility to pride. See, what's going on is there is this lull, this gap between triumph and temptation. And if you notice, brother and sister Christian, many times in our lives, we find ourselves in that gap, in that lull between triumph and temptation. On the one side, he takes this great supernatural victory. And because he takes this great supernatural victory, you ever heard this expression? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So the king of Sodom saw Abraham as the enemy of his enemy. He saw Abraham take a victory over his enemy. And so he thought he would reward Abraham with all kinds of stuff. And so Abraham comes off this great triumph, and right around the corner is this temptation from the king of Sodom. That's basically saying, look, I'll give you this and I'll give you that and I'll give you the other thing. And Abraham is tired. He just took a great victory. But it was one of those kinds of victories that draws everything out of you. You've been there, I've been there, where we can walk away saying, thank God I've been victorious, but so much has been drained out of us that we are just utterly tired. And at times like that, we are susceptible to the temptation, particularly the temptation to pride. But the awesome thing that happens here is somewhere between triumph and temptation, this man Melchizedek comes into the life of Abraham. Right before Abraham has to deal with all of the emotions and the fatigue and all of the concerns and the confusion of the moment, somebody comes to him. And he just brings him, as it were, a communion supper. And he begins to speak to him about the fact that God is with him. He just comes with friendship. He comes with fellowship. And he says that God is with you. And he blesses him in the name of the Lord. And he makes it clear to Abraham that Abraham is not alone, because Abraham didn't have a church to go to. Abraham didn't have a whole lot of people who believed with him. He had to leave a lot of things behind, a lot of people behind, a lot of history behind, a lot of culture behind, and he had to move where he didn't even know he was going. And he was alone a lot. It would be the picture of a Christian person who made a decision to leave a lot of things in the past and sever a lot of unhealthy relationships. And they are seeing the great victory of Christ in their life, and yet there is the lie of the enemy that's trying to tell them to take credit for it and to lift themselves up regarding it. And then somebody comes in with a word in season to the weary heart. Because sometimes even victory gets you tired. And this man takes it upon himself to act as a priest. Now, this is not the same as when Saul took it upon himself to act as a priest. Saul took it upon himself to act as a priest because he didn't believe God. You remember? The Lord says to Saul, wait 7 days. He says through Samuel, wait 7 days and we will do such and such a thing. We will offer to the Lord. And Saul waits and waits and waits. But after a certain time, he gets scared. And he begins to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. But it's out of unbelief. It's out of being a man pleaser. It's out of fear. This is not the way a person should act as a priest of the Lord. But what we see Melchizedek doing is something different. He's acting as a priest of the Lord, not by, as it were, offering the sacrifice. Because we know, ultimately speaking, Christ is the sacrifice. He's already offered what needs to be offered. But what Melchizedek comes and does is he brings the bread and the wine, as it were. He brings the communion. In other words, he's bearing witness to what is already done. And he comes and he says, look, I don't necessarily have the credentials. Now, he's before Levi. He comes before Levi. And yet the writer to the Hebrews is saying he didn't have any of the Levitical credentials. In other words, what the writer is saying is he didn't have any specific office. He didn't have any specific heritage. He didn't have any specific pedigree. He could not look down a genealogical line and say, see, this is why I'm a priest. Or this is why I'm coming to you with a word in season. This is why I'm coming to you when you're tired. This is why I'm coming to you when you're confused. This is why I'm coming to you when there's triumph on the one side and temptation on the other side. He didn't say, I've earned the right to speak into your life based upon natural circumstances or based upon ordination or based upon this degree or that degree or based upon the fact that I have been raised in this kind of a household or I'm the son or the daughter of this minister or that minister. He doesn't come and say any of that. But there is this sense in him that when I see a need, I can speak into that situation. When I see somebody who's tired, I see somebody who's needy, I see somebody who's hungry, I see somebody who's hurting, I can speak into their situation. I can come to them and remind them that they belong to the Lord. This is what he did. He simply went to a godly person and told that person that you are who God says you are. You might be going through a time of fatigue right now. You might be going through a time of difficulty right now. You might be going through a time of confusion right now. But every now and again, somebody and anybody who is righteous and whole in Christ can come to you with a word in season. Now, it's up to you. It's up to me to say, I can't hear anybody who doesn't have certain credentials. But it's also up to you and up to me to say, I can hear anybody who's walking in the righteousness of God and who is complete in him. And that's basically what the man's name meant. King of righteousness, king of peace, or king of shalom. A righteous person who is complete in Christ. A person who is righteous in the sacrifice of Christ and who knows it. A person who knows who they are in Christ should be able to speak a word of comfort into our lives, irrespective of their so-called pedigree, irrespective of whether or not they have this before their name or that after their name. Any Christian should be able to take up the mantle of priesthood if it means to offer the sweet communion of Christ. And to say to a person who might feel like they're alone, that you're not alone. And to say to a person who might feel like they're confused, that God has everything under control. And God has sent me to say to you today that there is a call of God upon your life. And this man took it upon himself. He seemed to come out of nowhere. And remember what the Bible said about the children of God. They're like the wind. You don't know where they're coming from. You don't know where they're going. They just seem to come out of nowhere. And that's what it says about Melchizedek. He just seemed to come out of nowhere. You ever have that kind of a situation where you're going through a hard time, you're going through a difficult time, and somebody just seems to come out of nowhere? Sometimes a person that you least expect it. A person that seems to have absolutely no background, no pedigree. Sometimes it can be a brand new convert. Sometimes it can be a little kid. And they come to you and they speak a word in season. That's what Isaiah said. He talks about the Lord, you know, giving him the tongue of the learned, a disciplined tongue, that he might speak a word in season to him who is weary. And every now and again, brothers and sisters, we've got to realize something. We don't have to have a whole lot of letters in front or in back of our name in order to speak a word in season to somebody who's weary. Every one of us has a call upon our life. This man was audacious. He took it upon himself, knowing that he was righteous and whole in God, to speak to a man like Abraham. And Abraham, in return, submitted himself to this man, gave him a tithe of all, submitted himself to this man, recognizing that the Lord was upon him to minister to him. And sometimes you and I have got to submit ourselves rather than fighting. Do you know what I mean? When somebody comes to us with a word in season, sometimes we have to submit ourselves. Amen. We have got to say, look, the Spirit of God is upon this person right now to speak into my situation. And at the same time, when we are that person who's speaking, we have got to speak with authority. No matter who we're speaking to, we could be speaking to an Abraham. And yet, if God is upon us to speak a word in season, then we speak with spiritual authority. And if we are walking in righteousness under the blood of Christ, and we are a complete people, that is to say, we know who we are in him, so that we are not speaking so that we might get something out of it. We're not speaking so that we might feel better about ourselves. We're not speaking so that we might convince ourselves that we're something, but we are already whole in Christ, and we speak because we have a word from God. Then we can speak with a sense of spiritual authority, even if we're speaking to an Abraham. And he didn't go and tell Abraham something that Abraham didn't already know. All he did was confirm what Abraham already knew. He confirmed that God was with Abraham. He confirmed that God had blessed Abraham. He confirmed the things that Abraham had already held in his bosom. Abraham would not have been where he was had he not already believed these things. So you and I are not coming with some mystical message. We're not trying to tell somebody some new thing. When we prophesy, we are simply testifying to the goodness of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says that is the spirit of prophecy, the testimony of Jesus. We're not trying to be mystical. We're not trying to be magical. We're not trying to tell a person where they're going to be in 5 years and whether or not they're ever going to get rich. We are simply confirming, corroborating what they already know, that there is a call upon their life, that God is with them, that God is going to keep them, that they are not alone in the world. No matter how alone they may feel, no matter how confused they may feel, there is a plan for their life. God knows exactly what he's doing, and that he hasn't forgotten them, that he hasn't let them go, that they're not on their own. This is the call of God upon all of our lives. And sometimes you and I have got to be a bit audacious when it comes down to it. That is to say, we can't allow anybody to tell us that we don't have enough to speak into the lives of godly people and remind them that they are God's people. We cannot allow the enemy to tell us that we don't have the right papers, that we don't have the right pedigree, that we don't have the right office, that we don't have the right upbringing, that we haven't been around long enough. We can't allow the enemy to tell us that we're just another brick in the wall and that we don't matter. We can't allow the enemy to tell us that nobody is going to listen to us and nobody can hear us. Every one of us has a word from God. Every one of us has the word of God living in us by the Holy Spirit. And when God moves upon us to speak a word in season to somebody who's weary, the last thing we want to do is say, I'm not good enough. The last thing we want to say is, I don't have my own thing together yet, so I can't do this. The Bible says about this man that he was the king of righteousness and the king of wholeness. And you and I are sons and daughters of the great king. And we have the righteousness of God living and working in us, the covenant faithfulness of God manifesting himself in us. And we are a complete people. And so we have a call upon our life. And we believe that call. We believe that that call is real. We don't let anything shut our mouths. We don't let anything shut us down. We don't let anything say you don't have the right to speak. We speak because God has put a word in our mouth. We speak because we walk in the compassion of Christ, and we can't hold back from speaking a word in season to that person who's weary. We can't hold back from speaking the word of hope and of comfort and of love and of mercy. We can't hold back from reminding each other of the call that's upon each life. We can't hold back from saying to one another, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't turn back. Don't let go. God is with you. Especially when confusion comes in, and especially when the king of Sodom is trying to say, maybe you need something from me. No, we stand in and we intercept. We intercede. We intervene. We say, no, no, no. You don't have to believe the lie of the devil. When the king of Sodom comes and tries to tell us that we don't have enough. When he comes and tells us that we need something else. That there's something more. It's the same kind of lie he told Adam and Eve from the very beginning. And sometimes it's a little bit hard for you and for me to defeat those lies when we're tired and when we're struggling. So we need each other. We need a Melchizedek. We need somebody to come with the communion. We need somebody to intervene on our behalf sometime and to stand in the gap for us sometimes and to comfort us in times of weariness sometimes and to say for us sometimes as well as to us that the Lord has a call on our life and that the enemy has no right to our life. Every single one of us has the same responsibility to every other one. Melchizedek had no credentials. He had no pedigree. He had no genealogy. He had no degrees. He could not say that I was raised in a priest's house. But what he could say is I have something to offer. I have the bread and I have the wine. I have the sacrifice of Christ. I can offer you a reminder of what Jesus has done for you. I can remind you that you are God's son, that you are God's daughter. I can remind you that the Jesus that you serve has enough for you. When he said, take and eat, this is my body. That was enough to fill our every hunger. When he said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, that is enough for us to know that the kind of relationship that we have with God and that we have with each other is a new thing. It is a pure thing. It is a whole thing. And for you and for me to remind each other of that. To say, don't believe the lie of the devil. To do what we can to snap each other out of whatever the enemy is trying to say and whatever he's trying to do. Every single one of us has that as a responsibility to everyone else. And every single one of us must receive that from anyone that God sends. We don't say, I can't hear that from you because your name is not Pastor this or Pastor that. That's madness. That's nonsense. That has nothing to do with the Holy Scriptures. We hear from one another. We are a body. That's why when we give communion in the sanctuary, it's not one person standing there and everybody lining up and coming to that one person. We serve each other. And we receive from one another. And when somebody comes to you with the word from the Lord, you give them a tenth of all. In other words, you give them that sense that I respect your authority. I respect the fact that God is with you right now to speak into my life. You don't have to convince me. I know that what you're saying is true because God has already spoken it to me. I wouldn't be here if God hasn't spoken it. If God had not spoken to Abraham, there would have been no encounter with Melchizedek because Abraham would have still been in Ur of the Chaldees. So if somebody comes to you and tells you you're believing a lie, snap out of it. You know that they're speaking the truth because you wouldn't be sitting in church if you didn't know that there was a call on your life. You wouldn't be sitting in church if you didn't know that God loves you. You wouldn't be sitting in church if you didn't know that God is taking care of you, that God is protecting you, that God is keeping you, that God is helping you, that God is healing you, that God is strengthening you, that God is keeping you. You wouldn't be here if you didn't already know that it's true. But every now and again, we need somebody to just kind of snap us with a wet towel in the spirit and to say, stop believing the lie. And to break the bread and to pour out the wine and say, remember what Jesus has done for you. And to say, in essence, don't look for a pedigree. Don't look for any degrees, ordination. Don't look for all those things. I may not have all those things, but I have a word. I have a word. I have a word for you, a word from God, and I'm not going to say anything that you don't already know to be true. I'm not going to try to be mystical. I'm not going to try to be magical. I'm not going to tell you a whole bunch of stuff that's going to make your ears tingle. I'm going to tell you the things that's going to make your heart burn, the things that you know already. But when you go through some difficult times, sometimes you just need somebody to remind you. And that can be anybody who's walking in righteousness, anybody who's whole in Christ, anybody. And you know the way the Lord deals. You know the kind of people that he uses. Not many wise, not many noble. You know the kind of people he will send to you. Most people didn't know Jesus when they saw him. Because he didn't have the credentials. He wasn't a Levite. That's why they made the comparison between Jesus and Melchizedek. Because Jesus didn't have any of the credentials. He wasn't a Levite. He was not raised among the Pharisees or the Sadducees. He didn't have any right to speak to anybody by their standards, but every right to speak by the standards of God himself. And nobody could shut him down. And he came and he said the things that people already knew because it was already in the text. Remember when he spoke to the disciples on the Emmaus Road, all he did was open up the Bible. And what did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us? And you and I have that gift. We have the indwelling presence. And we have the word of God. And we can speak to one another. So much so that we set each other's hearts ablaze. You know, in the history of church, there's been too many people who have doused each other's flame. Too many people who have quenched the spirit in one another. But that's not what we do. But we fan the flames. The Bible says that even a smoldering wick he will not put out. We fan the flame. We do what we can to strengthen each other, to encourage each other, to say to one another, no, 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 there's a path set out for you. And don't deviate to the left. Don't deviate to the right. Don't listen to the king of Sodom. Don't listen to him. You don't need his stuff. Because there's a call on your life. The faithfulness of God is going to manifest himself in you. And everybody's going to know about it. We're talking about this man, Abraham, now. Millennia since the time that somebody came to him with a little lunch, saying to him, I understand that right now you're somewhere between triumph and temptation. I understand right now it's a little bit difficult. I understand right now it's a little confusing. I understand right now it's a little fatiguing. I understand, but I'm just going to come to you and say to you that God is with you, that God has not left you, that God has not forgotten you, that God still has a call on your life. God still has his hand upon your life. God is still going to use you. God is still going to make you a father or a mother of nations. God is still going to bring generations from you. That's the truth. None of us understand the eternal implications of what we do in this generation. None of us know how many people are going to enter into the glorious kingdom of God because we simply do what God asks us to do. We simply came out of Ur of the Chaldees, and even if we don't know where we're going, and we just put one foot in front of the other just because God said so, even if we don't understand all of the implications of our call, we are making a difference. The Bible calls Abraham the father of the faithful. All of us in this room and everyone who believes is here because one man came to another man with a lunch and some fellowship and some faith and some compassion. Who knows what happens from here onward? Because we choose to fan each other's flame rather than douse. Because we choose to strengthen each other. And we don't have to have all the stuff. All we got to do is have a little lunch. All we have to do is have the bread and the wine. All we have to do is pass the communion. And when we pass the communion, one to another, breathe a little prayer. God bless my brother. God bless my sister. That's all Melchizedek did. That's all he did. He just popped on the scene out of nowhere and then he was gone and that was it. And sometimes that's all we have to do. Sometimes there's other things that we do. But there's nothing more important than this. That's why I think his ministry predated Levi's ministry and lived long afterward. Because it was the essence of true ministry. Without the pomp, without the ceremony, without the offices, without the dignities and all this and that, it was the essence of ministry. It was the caring. It was the compassion. It was the love. It was the mercy. It was the giving. It was the truth. It was the expression of truth. Even though he didn't have any of those things to back his name up, he just said, I'm going to take a chance. You don't know me, Abraham. I'm not pastor this or reverend that or elder this or elder that. You don't know me, Abraham. But God sent me to you. And God sent me to you to just sit down and have a lunch. God sent me to you to tell you that God is with you. God sent me to you to tell you that God loves you. God sent me to you to tell you that no matter what it might look like, this thing that God has called you to, he will accomplish it. God sent me to you to tell you that it ain't over till it's over. And there's still a lot of good things that's on your horizon. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old. I don't care what the doctor says. I couldn't care what your bank account says. Don't care what your history says. Doesn't matter what your best buddy might say. If God is speaking to you, you and I need to listen. Doesn't matter what your flesh says. Doesn't matter what the enemy says. Doesn't matter what the times say. Doesn't matter what the news says. If God is speaking to you, if God is reminding you of who you are, and he's using a vessel that you might not have expected, then you have got to give your tithe. In other words, you have got to submit to the authority that's on that person in that moment. Don't argue with them if they're telling you stuff that you already know to be true. If somebody's telling you you're going to be a millionaire or that you're never going to get sick, then you argue or just ignore them. But if they're telling you stuff that you already know to be true, stuff that drew you out of Ur of the Chaldees, stuff that drew you out of your father's house, stuff that brought you to this room, then receive it. No matter who they are. Receive it. And bless that person in the name of the Lord. And say thank you. That's all. You don't have to say but this or but that or but you don't understand or No. They don't have to understand. They're a messenger. Messengers don't have to understand. They just have to deliver the message. Your job is to receive it. And then when you deliver the message, it's the same thing. You don't have to understand the fullness of the circumstance that that person is going through. You just know that they need the bread and the wine. And they need somebody to come along out of nowhere. Somebody who might not have all the pedigree. Somebody, listen, I don't care what kind of accolade you may have. When you're dealing with a person who's tired, who's frustrated, you don't have the appropriate papers. You can have 15 different degrees, but if you're talking to somebody who's going through a difficult time, from their perspective, you just don't know what they're going through. You don't have the appropriate papers. But you have to have a Holy Ghost audacity. It says, yes, you're right. I don't know. I don't have a PhD in your particular struggle. I don't know. But I know what God told me. I know what God has given me to say to you. And I know that you know it. But I know you're tired. So I'm going to reiterate it. I'm going to corroborate it. I'm going to say what God says. Because sometimes we just need to be shaken. Sometimes we just need somebody to speak into our dreamlike state when we're going through our difficult times and cut through all of the lies of the devil. And just say, I ain't saying nothing to you that you don't already know. You know God is with you. You know God loves you. You know God will keep you. You know that God cannot lie. You know that if God started a thing, he will complete it. You know that God is faithful, that God is true, that God is just, that God is holy, that God is good. You know that God deserves your respect and your reverence and your concern. You know that God holds you to his bosom. You know it. You know that you're the apple of his eye. You know it. You know that he sent his son to die for you. You know it. You know that he gave you his son and he gave you his spirit and he gave you his scripture. Not only that, but he trusts you with the souls of the lost. He gave you his commission to reach out to people who he weeps over every day. You know it. You know. And every now and again, we just need one another. Because we get tired sometimes. And it gets hard and difficult sometimes. And we lose track sometimes. We all do. We get confused sometimes. But thank God, if we're willing to give the tithe, in other words, if we're willing to allow somebody to speak into our lives and to say the things that we already know to be true, then we can be lifted up. And then what happens the next time? Well, the roles are reversed. And now that person's going through their little time. And now I'm coming to them with the word. They're more likely to listen to me because I listened to them. People find it difficult to listen to folk who don't listen to them. But if you and I have that kind of give and take thing with one another, then we can always help each other. We can always strengthen each other. We can always bless each other. You are called. Every single one of us called to one another. Today you might be strong, your brother, sister, weak. Tomorrow they may be strong while you're weak. So we humbly speak into each other's lives and we humbly receive from one another. And that's it for my time. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Holy Spirit, we do thank you so much. We thank you for each other. We thank you that we are not alone. We thank you we don't have to fight this thing alone. We don't have to outwit or outsmart the enemy on our own. We don't have to outwit or outsmart our own flesh on our own. We thank you that you send us brothers and sisters who will corroborate the truths that you've already spoken to our hearts. Lord, we pray for each other right now, Lord. And we simply say, if there's anyone in this room who's being lied to, anyone who's overwhelmed, even if they're just coming off a great victory, but they're tired and they're fatigued, or the king of Sodom is coming to them and saying, you need what I have. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name right now. And we ask you to make us a Melchizedek in this room. Make us a people who pronounce the blessing of the Lord and a people who remind one another that we are the called of God and that everything is working together for the good because we love the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much that you have made us a peculiar people, a particular people, a special people. Lord, we have a particular gift. Each one of us can bring the bread and the wine. Each one of us can remind the other of the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Each one of us can remind the other of what Christ has done for us and what he is doing in us and through us. Lord, we ask you to strengthen us. Let there be no lies that come to us that says you don't have the proper papers, you don't have the right pedigree. We know that in our strength we have nothing, but in Christ we have all things. And so we come like Melchizedek, knowing that we are princes and princesses. We are kings and queens of righteousness and of peace, because we are the sons and daughters of the great God. We have been given a supernatural wholeness because of the righteousness of God that abides in us. And so we do dare speak. We do dare preach. We do dare pray. We do dare comfort. We do dare reach out. We do dare make a difference. We do dare choose to be heard in this generation. We will not be silenced, but we will speak. We thank you for this, O Jesus, and we bless you for it. And I pray for my brothers and my sisters. And we pray a Melchizedek mantle on each one. The spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony of the great work and life of Jesus Christ. Make us witnesses first to one another and then to the world. Help us to remind each other of who Jesus is, and of what Jesus has done, and of what Jesus is doing. Let it be so, Lord, that each of us take on the mantle of priesthood, offering the bread and the wine. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God.